Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bâloise Group Annual Results 2018 Analyst Conference Call. I'm Andrea, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Markus Holtz, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and welcome to Bâloise Q&A call on our annual results 2018. In our call today are our CEO, Gerte Winter, our CFO, Carsten Stolz, and our CIO, Matthias Henny. And now I would like to hand over to Gerd, who will give a quick overview on our results before we open the Q&A.
Yeah, thank you, Markus, and also warm welcome from all of us here and from me personally. Quickly running through the main points of our 2018 annual results. So clearly, a bottom line result over 500 million, strong, robust. Clear growth in our target segment of non-life with a growth over 5%. And while maintaining and even improving the technical profitability of the non-life business with a combined ratio of 91.7%. In life, despite the continuous low interest environment, we have been able to generate more bottom line, giving our business mix portfolio and giving our strategy to go into capital light products. And as stated, we are and remain very strongly capitalized. You can see that with the S&P rating increase to A+. On the cash flow generation, it's clearly that from an operations point of view, we have been able to increase the cash flows into the holding again. And that is the reasons why we are proposing at the General Assembly to increase the dividend to 6 francs. Also, from a Simply Safe point of view, our three targets to 2021, we are fully in line with them. Cash, I already mentioned that. Employee engagement, clearly in the top quartile of the best financial institutions in Europe. And also in terms of winning new clients, we have actually won in 2018 almost 200,000 net new clients. So also from a Simply Safe strategic goals, we are fully on track, and I think that is the main message from our annual results 2018. We are very proud to say that we are fully on track with our strategic goals and with our strategy. Having said that, we're glad to open up for questions.
The first question comes from the line of Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi there, thank you so much, and well done for the dividend and the cash and all your targets. It's lovely. I had four questions, if I may. They're very brief. One is the 18% stake in Friday for that deal at 43 million value from the media companies. Am I right in thinking it gives a valuation for Friday of about 300 million? And how does that compare with your investment so far? The second is what the reserve release is the only number I was wondering about. So it's up from 2.9% to 4.3%. If I add back the extraordinary reserve additions made last year for Germany, that would be 6%. I don't know which is the right figure, but it's higher. And I just wondered if you can give a little bit more color on this. I've been assuming, but maybe wrongly, that this is IFRS 17 is beginning to have an impact here. Certainly it's something that AXA said. Then on in life, the life growth in cash is wonderful, up to 170 million from about 140 million, and EBIT is also up. And I just wondered if you can give a feel for whether these numbers can progress. Are we now at the right level, given that in the past you've said EBIT would be about 300 million and the cash is clearly, your total cash is above your target run rate. And finally on solvency, you've said over 200%, but given that it was 262 or 263 last year, I just wondered, does it mean it's a 200 and it's down massively? How can I interpret this? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. I think we will split them a bit amongst the different people of the team here. Let me start with Friday. So the 18% commitment or engagement of two media companies is actually based on a strong partnership. I think we absolutely see a strategic partnership with these media companies. And indeed, if you would derive the, let's call it the 40 million as more or less 20%, we would be in a valuation of Friday today of about 200 million. We ourselves as Baloise invested over the last 3 years 45 million in Friday and have committed to another 75 million euro over the next years to come, together with the 40 million of the media companies. So that's more or less the investment so far and the evaluation or the evaluation of Friday as we speak. High-level reserve release, we actually release reserves in non-life on a case-by-case basis, and that's why indeed it might be somewhat higher this year than it was previous years. I think we remain with the guidance of 2 to 3% prior year loss development, but I'm sure that Carsten will or can detail on that. On life, indeed, cash generation and EBIT is satisfactory. We have been able to increase it given the strategy to move away from capital-heavy products into a much lighter or capital-lighter business mix. That's clearly the strategy which is working and which has allowed us to increase both the EBIT and the cash generation of the life business. But Carsten, maybe on non-life, life and solvency or SST, maybe your additional remarks or answers.
Well, thank you, Michael, for your questions. On non-life, in addition what Gerd already said, it's true that in 2018 we've been a little bit above the guidance of the 2 to 3 percentage points, but there's no special reason behind that. So I think that's just the way it developed in 2018. On life EBIT, we keep our guidance of an area of 300 million. We have had a good year last year. We've had a good year in 2017. We've also seen, and you saw that in the analyst presentation, that the interest rate effect have come down again. But I like also to remind you that if we stay in that environment due to the mechanics of reserve strengthening further down the road, even if we stay unchanged, we will have some further reserve strengthening. So for the moment, we keep the life guidance as unchanged. We're very happy with, as already mentioned, that the life business segment is also contributing to the cash remittance. So the cash remittance is also standing on three strong feet. Now, with regard to SST, we expect the SST to be above 200%. We're in the midst of doing the final calculations, and we'll disclose the final number at the end of April in the context of the financial condition report. So for the time being, we expect above 200, as we expected last year as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Peter Elliott from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Thank you very much. I probably would have pushed a little bit on the SST ratio as well. I guess we're not going to get much more guidance of how we compare now to where you were this time last year, but it was always worth a try. Perhaps just on the SST, would you be able to comment even sort of qualitatively on how the volatility is looking like under the new models? Whether you expect the ratio to move around a little bit more. Second question, your cash radar, you presented the same one as last year. It gives constraints on the annual payments, but I guess it doesn't give us perhaps a complete view of the sort of one-off distribution capabilities. And I'm guessing that SST is not going to be a constraint, and I think your free reserves could be higher if you could upstream capital. So I was just wondering if you could comment on that and where you see the sort of constraints really in terms of one-off payments. And then final question, the investment type premiums showed a big decline. I was just wondering if you could go into that a little bit. I mean, I know you comment on the sort of the underwriting prudence, but I'd be grateful for some more comments there. Thank you.
I would propose that Carsten take question one and two, and I will actually allude and elaborate on the Luxembourg question. Carsten, please.
Yeah. So thanks for your question, and thanks for pushing on SST. at this stage, we're still in the calculation mode. The models have changed, as you know, in many substantial components. So I think it's too early to make any statement on that. I can be sure that we will be above 200%, we'll have to wait for the financial condition report so we can base the answer to your well understood question on the back of the numbers in the end of April. So we think it might be a little bit higher, the volatility of the number in the new model. But it's not a very mature statement yet. On cash radar, and I'm referring to slide 8 in the analyst presentation. That's, I think, your reference point as well. You know that we have a pure holding on top of the corporate structure, so there is no insurance operations in the holding. And this is the cash radar for Baloise Holding, where the dividend is paid out. So it's a simpler cash radar as we have it for the operational entities, and it spreads out the relevant constraints with regards to the holding balance sheet when it comes to dividend payments. And as you see, capital is not a constraint in considering what we do with everything that is remitted to the holding. Free reserves that stem from prior financial years are not a constraint either, so we are well within the boundaries of the holding constraints. The cash radar looks different if you look at operational entities because there are different criteria come into play, but from a holding level, you see the picture that we are well inside the constraints with the proposed dividend payment of 6 Swiss francs.
On the Luxembourg question, I've understood the question as what is the reason for actually lower freedom of service or premium volume, so investment-linked or investment-linked life insurance. So in Luxembourg, we actually do the unit-linked life insurance throughout Europe. And I think there are mainly two reasons why the volume has decreased in 2018. The first is, of course, that the markets were pretty volatile, which has actually decreased the demand for these kinds of products and solutions. That is one. And secondly, in the beginning of 2018, there were a number of regulatory, let's call it challenges, like GDPR, IDD, and so forth, which have certainly slowed down, I would say, the volume of this type of business. However, what is important is that we actually generate profit on the assets under management of this business. And if you look at the freedom of services business driven out of Luxembourg, we have doubled the assets under management since 2012-13. So we are at 10 billion assets under management, and this is where we generate the profit and the bottom line, not on the premiums as such, which are by default giving the market volatility also volatile. We expect the market to stabilize and normalize again in the years to come.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Frank Kopfinger from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I have two questions. My first question is on your interest rate margin in life, which even widened in 2018. And one driver was a reserve strengthening of 10 basis points. And you mentioned that there is more to come on this end in respect to reserve strengthenings. I would like to understand what the mechanical guidance there is, because from the PowerPoint perspective, it even looked like as if you would have not needed a reserve strengthening on this side, as simply the reserve mix or the business mix would have been sufficient to keep the margin stable. And then secondly, on Friday also, there were some press comments that you also intend to enter other markets. And I would like to know whether you can comment on the markets where you like to go, and especially whether Switzerland, your home base, would be one, as it's one of the most profitable ones.
Should I start with Friday, Carsten?
Yes, please.
Let me first pick on the question on Friday. What we clearly see in terms of the plans, we are, given the Media for Equity transaction, of course, giving a lot of opportunities in publicity in Germany, we are focusing on actually further increasing the growth in the motor business in Germany. If you look at the plans moving forward, clearly there are other products than motor only in Germany, so that's certainly an element we're looking at, or an additional growth engine that we are looking at. And in addition, we are of course also looking at internationalization and expansion. We don't necessarily expect that to happen this year, but moving forward, it is certainly an option. Given the technology platform, given the efficient processes, given the convenience for customers, and given the data analytics capacities, these kinds of alternative business models are actually easier to export in other countries than traditional M&A. So we are certainly thinking about extending the Friday model into other markets, but focusing in 2019 on motor in Germany and other actually branches in Germany.
So your question on interest rate margin development and further reserve strengthening in the context of the EBIT strength of the life segment. I start with the question, why do we need to make further reserve strengthenings in that context? And that is due to regulation in different countries. And I take an example from your country, Germany, with the mechanics from the so-called Zinszusatzreserve, where we have moved in 2018 into a new method called corridor method. The good news is that triggers less requirement to realize capital gains to nurture the liability side. The bad news is that the reference interest rate comes down much slower, since it's an averaged interest rate over 10 years. So that means that even if interest rates stay the way they are, this averaging down over time will take a couple more years, and therefore also then trigger through that mechanism further reserve strengthenings. But you see also on slide 23, where we have the profit by sources, that the reserve strengthening has come further down. So the need for further reserve strengthening is leveling out as we go ahead. Now on the interest rate margin that has increased on slide 24, that has increased to 130 basis points, we had an effect, pretty strong effect on lower average guarantees. That has to do with the way we manage back books. It has also to do with the structure of maturing policies. So that's not a linear development. And when it comes to the current yield, that has only come down 2 basis points last year. We just had less maturing bonds, and therefore less reinvestment needs, that kept the pressure on the current yield lower than in former years. So by and large, and there I look more at the development over time, and that we have been able to establish a certain stable corridor between the current yield stemming from the investment side and the average guarantees in the back book.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Luke Stratford Heaton from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. Two from me, please. So the first one is on the combined ratio in Switzerland. So that seems to have deteriorated, and I just wondered if you could provide any comments around that. And the second one is on the cash remittances of $449 million. Were there any one-offs in there, or was that just normal remittances? Thank you.
Let me take the first question on the combined ratio in Switzerland. We're still at a very, very profitable level, so there are no exceptional things and no underlying trends that we see. So profitability is clearly is stable. What we had, of course, is the winter storms in the beginning of the year 2018 and some bigger claims that we have also in especially in fire. Those are the two, I would say, effects that have slightly increased the combined ratio in Switzerland, but absolutely normal going forward. So no reason whatsoever to actually be worried there. On cash remittance, Carsten?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Gerd. On cash remittance, our overall ambition is that we improve the cash content of IFRS earnings on an moving forward, which we have achieved this year. So I'm quite happy about this. You asked if there were one-offs in the cash remittance. It's quite clean. It is coming out of the operating earnings, and it may vary a little bit from year to year with regard to the sources. But by and large, I think that's a pretty sustainable picture.
Sure, thanks. And just one follow-up question, if I may. Where would you peg a sort of normalized combined ratio level for Switzerland?
I think if you would take the combined ratio over the last couple of years, that's sort of the average. You have some elements going up, some elements going down, but there is no specific trend to be expected. So it's, I would say, stable moving forward.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Kevin Ryan from Bloomberg Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to ask about your new customer targets. You had a very impressive haul in 2018 with 186,000 new customers. Could you give us a little bit of background on where you're targeting the growth in 2019 and beyond? Thank you.
Let me first tackle the 2018. So indeed, close to 200,000 net new customers. If you look at where they come from, actually they come from all the different geographies, which is we're actually growing in clients everywhere. It's especially the non-life clients we're growing, so it's actually the target segment in which we are developing this growth of new customers. And it is across what I would call the core of our business on one side and the innovation initiatives on the other side. Friday, for example, is bringing close to 30,000 new customers in 2018. So that's actually 2018 with close to 200,000 net new customers. If you look at the years forward, we have both in the core of our business and in the innovation initiatives actually already launched a number of initiatives, a large number of initiatives, which are maturing. So actually the target is in 2021, that's the target of our Simply Safe strategy, is to achieve the 1 million net new customers. And we are well on our way, having reached over 300,000 in 2 years, and actually with the different initiatives in core and in the innovation part maturing, we expect this to steadily increase over the years to come.
Thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. So I have three. One is tax, the other one is accounting for Friday, and the other one is more philosophical. On the tax, so I was speaking with your wonderful IR, who I think, and I understood that the guidance for tax is now below 20, the actual tax was 25, and before the guidance was around or below 23. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the extra from this uplift. Does this mean the cash goes up, basically? The second is accounting for Friday. So if I remember the numbers you very kindly cited, so 45 million investors so far, then you've got an extra 40 million from your new media partners, and you've got another 70 million kind of outlined for future investments. How is this capitalized? and then you kind of match it against revenues or contracts or whatever, or is it expensed? The reason I ask isn't to say Friday is good or bad. It sounds really good. It's just to understand if there's a potential for uplift when the spend, if you like, slows down. And the final one is on the margin. So if I compare your margins with those of your peers, they're very high, which is great, and clearly getting new clients, the clients appreciate it too. But in life, I notice in some countries, a new business margin over 50%. In non-life, the combined ratio, as you just said, in Switzerland, around somewhere between 80 and 85%. How sustainable are these very long term? The question we always have from investors is, if, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago, insurers were happier to operate at 95 or 100% combined ratio, and you know, new business margins of around 1 to 2%, and now they're much, much higher. How sustainable is this? Or, you know, is this a little bit one-off and suddenly we'll revert to the old world? Thank you.
thank you, Michael. I start with the tax question. So what has happened between 2017 and 2018 was that we had a very favorable tax year in 2017. That was mainly due to tax reforms in some countries, especially Belgium, and the depressed earnings situation in other countries, be it Germany. So that has reversed in 2018. And so from a local and taxable revenue perspective, the profits have been higher, and that triggered this development to the 25% that we have in this year. Now, in many jurisdictions, there is considerations about the tax regimes overall, and that by and large will contribute to a lower run rate as indicated into the future. Parts of it will be taxes that will have to be paid or less paid, and part of it is then reflected in latent taxes in IFRS, that's accounting effect only. But the overall trend in the tax regimes is a trend towards lower taxes on income. In some regimes, then, there is a compensation by taxing on capital in a different way. But if you look at income taxes, that's probably fair to say that's an overall trend. And that should hopefully close the loop to what the wonderful IR team has already told you.
Thank you.
If I take question number two on Friday, if you look at the track of the investments being done by Baloise and by the two media companies today, actually, indeed, in 2016, we decided to launch the direct digital insurer in Germany, which was an investment of 45 million until the end of 2018 to actually build up the team, build up the technology, the processes, the brand, and so forth. If you look at the approximately 40 million that Seven Ventures and German Media Pool is bringing in now in the transaction that was announced today, this is actually a sort of counter value for the publicity that we will be able to use using these two strong media companies. And we are also investing together with the media companies approximately 75 million. Important to say is 50 million of these 75 million is actually Solvency II capital, actually, which is being bound given the growth that is being expected. So 25 million is further investments in technology, customer convenience, data analytics capabilities, and so forth. 50 million is actually, let's call it cheer. Solvency II capital. So that's more or less the situation on the investments. Of course, moving forward in other branches in Germany or international expansion will require additional investments. But the basis of the digital insurer with the technology and the data analytics capabilities and the user convenience capabilities is existing. So it's a stable IT technology process platform. On sustainability, maybe I should open and then Karsten can jump in. I think what you see in the new business margins, of course, is the actual result of the business strategy that we have been following for the last couple of years, is to move away from capital intensive products into capital light products, is lowering the guarantees when possible. It is actually working on the portfolio as we speak. So this is clearly a result of our strategy in life. If you look at the combined ratios in the different countries and in Switzerland, this doesn't come automatically. It's hard work. I mean, we are continuing our very successful target customer management and operational excellence strategy in re-underwriting and in underwriting our book of business in a continuous way. And that is why we think, having built up this capability for the last 10, 15 years, we are very strong in OPEX and customer target management. And that's why we think, and we do believe absolutely, that it's sustainable moving forward. But as said, it doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come automatically. It's continuous daily hard work.
Brilliant. That's really helpful. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from Peter Elliott from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just want to follow up on a few points, actually. First of all, your question just now to, or your answer just now to Michael's questions on the tax. Sorry if I missed it, but I didn't catch whether you gave your current view of, or your sort of guidance on what tax rate you expect. Would you be able to clarify that, what you expect as an underlying tax rate for, say, 2019? Secondly, just going back to the non-life reserves. I mean, if we look at H2 in isolation, you know, it was. I mean, I appreciate you said there were some one-offs in there, but we're looking at a sort of 6% run rate for H2. Are you able to tell us which countries they were coming from, and maybe especially, you know, what the result from Germany was? And then the third question, the risk result within life was very strong. Are you able to quantify how much of that was due to biometric assumption changes and what your view on the underlying profitability is going forward? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. The on the tax rate. We said in the past that we expected it to be between 20 to 23%. Now I would say we are more in the 20 area, and maybe looking from below upwards to 20, if I may use that as a picture. So 20 area is probably a good figure. On the risk results, if you look at the profit by source analysis. You're right. We have had a pretty strong risk result with 274, and we had an updated in biometric assumptions. That's correct. Our guidance that has been always in the area between 200 and 250 million. We would keep that also moving forward. So in that respect, this year's risk result was maybe kind of 25 million above the upper range of that guidance, but we would stick to the 200 to 250 million run rate for the risk result.
Maybe on non-life, and actually, Carsten, please feel free to comment. I think question on first half year, second half year, we don't manage actually by half year, so you have indeed some variations in the first half year, second half year, which are a bit different than last year. So that's actually the main result. So it's actually just we look at the full year. Where did the prior year loss development come from? Actually, mainly from Switzerland and Belgium, but also, for example, from Germany. So clearly Germany has been a topic over the last couple of years. During the Investors' Day in 2016, we announced the five-year plan to bring German back into profitability. We are executing against this plan and full on track. The combined ratio guideline for Germany was 96 to 98. We are slightly below that, so we achieved 2018 the objective. And what you clearly see is in non-life that we are completely shifting the portfolio. So away from big industrial risks, which are not our taste, but almost minus 50% over the last 2 years in this segment of industry risks, and over plus 25% in the retail business, which is the good profitable business with a combined or a claims ratio below 60%, and we have grown there for 25%. So actually we're shifting the portfolio in non-life, and this is where we actually are achieving a much more stable combined ratio in the target area that we're looking for.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of René Locher from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Sure, René.
Absolutely, that's nice. So I missed the very beginning of the call, so just want to make sure the life EBIT guidance of 300 million still stands. The reason why I'm asking is when I'm looking at the 10-year risk-free here in Switzerland is now in negative territory again. So just a confirmation of the 300 million EBIT guidance in life. And then on slide 27... I mean, I've seen that asset management improved the IFRS earnings by 20%. And, well, this is capital light income, very much appreciated. So I was just wondering if there's some one-offs in there, which would explain, you know, the strong increase in IFRS earnings. And then another question on, you bought a 20% in Infracore, which is a Swiss healthcare property project, you know, for 87 million. So could you comment a little bit, you know, what was the rationale, you know, where are we going from here with this investment in Infracore? Thank you.
I propose that Carsten takes question one and that questions two and three are for Matthias.
Yeah, with pleasure. Thank you, René, for your questions. Yes, the life guidance remains unchanged at 300 at this stage.
Thanks.
Good. Coming to questions two and three, higher EBIT from asset management, an increase of 11 million. It's coming from two factors. About two-thirds is from the real estate investment company that we set up, and with the launch of the real estate investment fund that generated quite substantial fees. And one-third of this increase is actually coming from a shift in results, but in the end, two-thirds of the shift is coming from the growth in the real estate investment business. Coming to your third question, rationale for Infracore. For us, this is investment into a niche segment of the real estate market. It is a segment that shows quite some growth rate. We have quite high investment yield on that portfolio, and combined with a very long-term lease contract with a duration of more than 20 years, this is a perfect investment category to generate stable and high investment yields for the insurance business, be it non-life, be it life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I think that's really a sweet spot for a life insurance company. And I was just wondering, these 20%, are you happy with the 20%, or could it be that you go a little bit higher?
Currently, we hold 20%. This is, for us, the right quota to be a strategic partner for Infracore and an anchor investor. We might increase a little bit the quota, but not it's not planned to increase it substantially.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
Good, then. Thank you very much for the attention. Thank you very much for the questions, and we hope we have been able to answer at least to a large extent your questions. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.